Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby. Gary Curry. McSorley. To Gretzky. Scores. He did it. The greatest goal scorer in National Hockey League history. Scores. A magnificent goal.
He's been going in on goal. He shoots.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Hockey Podcast. This is Reed, and joined, as always, forever, Viz, the wise and powerful Viz. Good slate of games lately for the Sabres. How's it going, man?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I mean, back-to-back wins against two pretty good teams in Florida and Winnipeg was nice. Without Eichel and Kane to be pseudo 500, 3-3-2 isn't the worst thing in the world. So in that regard, it's pretty good. A little upset that we're recording this on Halloween. There's no games tonight, which is a bit strange.
But, yeah, no.
Left us with a big schedule on Sunday and a big schedule for Tuesday, which we'll look at quick when we do the 3-point challenge later. So
yeah,
overall things are good.
All right, good. Yeah, a lot of games on Sunday. Very, very shocking. We talked about in the last podcast how we were hoping the Bills were going to beat up the Patriots by enough that we could safely turn on the Sabres-Jets game by 3 o'clock. We were half right. The Bills were losing and being outplayed enough by the Patriots that we were able to safely switch over to the Sabres-Jets game.
Yeah, so, I was actually at the Bills game, unfortunately.
And, oh, good Lord.
Once we went down, was it 38-17 in the late third quarter? That was when I called it. And at that point, I got home and saw most of the Sabres game, at least saved the day a little bit.
Yeah, it was. It was not a good Bills game. We do have to address the dildo that was thrown out on the field. All of the media outlets just want to call it a sex toy. We will not be doing that here on the Razzball Fantasy Hockey Podcast.
Blog Talk Radio puts a rating. I put rated R for a reason.
Yeah, that was a downright dildo thrown out.
Yeah,
there.
I was on the opposite side, and I made a comment to the people around me, like, I swear a flag got thrown. Like, what the hell happened? And I had no idea until I got home and looked. I had all these text messages about it. I was just dying laughing.
No, it was
like Brady said, only in Buffalo, and he's probably right.
Yeah, I mean, that was just absolutely glorious. I was a big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's start with the Sunday games, and then I guess we'll work our way back. Does that make sense?
Keep
the
fine.
Games most fresh. The game's on Sunday, so the Sabres, Robin Leonard puts up a stellar performance in Winnipeg. They win 3-1. We have a two-goal performance from Kyle Okposo, which the Sabres need. Leonard with 37 saves on 38 shots. Looked pretty good out there. Did give up a couple rebounds, so may have padded his own stats a little bit. But I mean, the Jets did have 6 power plays. Sabres stopped all of them. Was very impressive in my mind. And Kyle when I watched the Sabres play, we talked about before how Kyle Okposo and Ryan O'Reilly, with Eichel and Kane out, those are their main guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like there's a big talent discrepancy between Okposo, O'Reilly, and then the rest of the forwards.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Postle's been great. He's had 7 points in 7 games so far. He's doing what you want. Lehner, I mean, he had 37 saves. He needed to play well because, the Sabres were on a back-to-back, so it was a bit of a tough spot. His first game back from being sick, but he looked pretty good, and I expect him to be the workhorse again soon enough. For Winnipeg, Hutchinson was coming off a big shutout, and Laid an egg, gave up 3 on 15 shots, got pulled, and our guy Hellebuck came in. And
finally came in. Yeah.
He didn't give up anything the rest of the game. So I gotta imagine he's gonna start Winnipeg's next game against Washington, which isn't a great matchup, but it is what it is. It's just good to see Hellebuck in net, really.
Yeah.
You know, Winnipeg, the only thing really worth talking about to me really with them is this constant line shuffle. Like, but they have four great forwards right now in Scheifele, Wheeler, Laine, and Ehlers, and they seem to be shuffling around where they either have two together on the first line, two on the second line, or they keep Scheifele and Wheeler together with one of them. It's been Laine lately, but then they put Ehlers there during the game. Ehlers ended up scoring the own goal. I don't think it matters too much for fantasy. I mean, Ehlers played 22 minutes, Wheeler played 21, Scheifele 23, Laine 18. They're going to produce no matter who they're playing with, so I don't think it's too big of a concern, except for those like playing daily fantasy and you want to stack a line. It's a little riskier with these guys just because you don't know for sure who's going to be with who on a period-to-period basis even.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little bit annoying, but at least since I'm a pretty selfish person, I'd like to say, I own Scheifele and Laine, and I know as long as they're in the top six, which we'll talk about the shuffling and whatnot, but they're not moving out of the top six.
No.
You'll still be fine. There's enough forwards in the top six in Winnipeg that you can feel comfortable rolling them regardless. But if you were just looking to double dip on a line, it becomes a little bit more...
For sure.
You become more of a whole Winnipeg Jets fan and less of a first line of the Winnipeg Jets fan.
Right, especially because Ehlers, he's not always on the first power play unit. They kind of even mix and match there, like... Bufflin plays the whole shift, or the whole 2 minutes, and Laine has been playing the point with Scheifele Wheeler, and then it's been, like, Perreault, it's been Ehlers. Like, there's no guarantee on who that's going to be. So I guess he's the one, like, impacted the most by which line he's on, but, I mean, I like him plenty regardless.
Yeah, Scheifele with 7 shots on goal in that game. Just a big boy performance. Bufflin with 29 minutes and 56 seconds. Mm-hmm. Another 7 shots from Big Buff. We talked about before how Viz and I like to really... We look at one of the things, if the listeners here haven't figured out yet, we think time on ice is a very good indicator for fantasy relevance.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of if a player puts up a 2.9 or something, goal and assist, but it's only in like 8.5 minutes of work, it's not nearly as impressive as the person who does it in 22.5 minutes.
At least for future prediction.
Right,
you know.
Because it's a matter of just volume on the ice and getting the chances. So this is where I'm going to bring it back to the Sabres for a little bit. Ryan O'Reilly, we talked about him and Okposo being light years ahead of the rest of the Sabres forwards. Ryan O'Reilly had 23.5 minutes of ice time as a forward. That is insane.
Yeah, I mean, he led the league in average time on ice for forwards last year. I think he was at like 21 and change. Like, Bylsma counts on him in every situation, and especially with Eichel being hurt, like, he's going to keep getting into the 20s. There's no doubt about it.
And even when Eichel comes back in, what, 4 weeks?
Maybe sooner. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it's going to linger, too. I mean... You don't know how a high ankle sprain is going to be when he first comes back, but, I mean, he's going to be in the 20s no matter what. I mean, he's got 7 points in 8 games. Like, he's been fine for sure.
Yeah, he's looked really good, tons of volume. And even when Eichel comes back, they might just roll top 6 for the most part and sprinkle in the third line. The fourth line could be down to, like, 6 minutes in a game.
Yeah, yeah, like, I mean, those guys can kind of like kill.
O'Reilly's going to get 22-plus minutes a night. He's a fantasy stud in my book, solely based on volume. He didn't have any shots in this game, but...
Yeah, he's at 2.5 a game, which is perfectly fine. Yeah. I mean, if your league doesn't count penalty minutes, he gets an even bigger boost because he never gets penalty minutes. But
right.
Even with a blank there in leagues that count him, I mean, he'll be a top 100 player in my mind.
Yeah, and then another thing, if you're a big Sabres power play fan, Rasmus Ristolainen, 26.5 minutes of ice time. Had 3 shots, 2 penalty. He does have a little bit of a mean streak developing, which is nice for a Finnish defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Just gets tons of volume out there. He should be a number 2 fantasy defenseman, I think. And, I mean, I know there's been a lot of scoring from the defense lately, but by the end of the season, if he's playing on a power play that has Eichel, Okposo, O'Reilly, he can be pushing a number 1 fantasy defenseman on a weaker team.
Yeah, I mean, I think sooner than later he's going to be. I mean, he's right now he's the number four guy in the player rater for defensemen, and the Sabres have played fewer games than most teams. I mean, Columbus and Colorado have played seven. Sabres have played eight with a couple other teams. Most teams have played nine or even ten at this point. So he's been great to start, and that first unit scored eight power play goals already in eight games. So, I mean, if they come close to even keeping up that pace, Ristolainen is going to be great. I mean, the shots are great for a defenseman right now. I mean, the special teams points especially, like, he is definitely a number two, I think, at this point.
Yep.
And the upside's there to be better.
Let's move on from that game. Because I think we need to. Let's get to our little play. I want to say playlist, but that's not the right word. Let's get to the little list of things that we do need to talk about. We already talked about the Jets. Touched a little bit on the Sabres.
Yeah.
Shea Weber is the number one fantasy defenseman this year by quite a bit. Surprising, I would say. Are you holding on? If you own him, I don't believe you own him.
No, I league. Don't.
If you did own him, would you try and sell high?
Probably. I mean, I don't know how high you'll be able to get, you know, but I mean, I don't love him in real life, but in fantasy, there's plenty of value here. And Montreal is playing him, you know, 26 minutes a night. You know, he's got 10 points in nine games, six assists. I mean, the four goals doesn't shock me. He's going to have streaks like that. He's got a great shot, and they're using him. But, you know, six assists, he's never been a big assist guy.
I know.
33 is his career high. A lot of his value right now is coming from being plus 12 already, too. I mean, he'll probably be a bottom-end number one at the end of the year, the way Montreal is using him right now. At the least, I mean, he's a very good number two, which is what I had him, because that's what he's been the last couple of years for Nashville. I don't know how. I mean, what kind of player would you think you'd be able to get for him? I mean, if you can get someone who's, you know, a top 50 player, I mean, I'd probably do it. Like, if Letang comes back soon, which he's supposed to, and he does all right, like, if you could trade, like, Weber for Letang, I would do it. Like, I don't know. It all depends on, you know, how much someone's buying into Weber's and Montreal's early success as a team.
Yeah, they're 8-0-1 right now, if you guys don't have your stats up or your NHL standings, which I do, so I can tell you that. 8-0-1, they're rolling right now. So, yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to. Part of me wants to say, if he's on this hot of a streak, you gotta ride the bull while you can.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfectly reasonable.
But if someone sits there and is panicking, and like, okay, let's propose this: someone has Roman Josi, and they're worried about the Nashville Predators, who we will talk about later in this in this podcast, and the struggles of them in Dallas. But if someone has Roman Josi and they're panicking because Nashville's not doing well, his plus-minus isn't incredible, and you have Shea Weber, would you make that trade?
I mean, and I would rather have Josi, but...
But if you have Shea Weber...
I can
Weber,
understand
you,
standing pat, too. Okay. Like, it's not a slam dunk by any stretch. I mean, that's the kind of range that we're probably looking at for Weber to, you know, to finish in. Josi, all those guys who are ranked in that area. I mean, now I think he's ahead of the Gostisbehere and Klingberg class Weber, which
yes.
is around, you know, that's more what I was thinking. I mean, Josi, he's had three shots a game still, which is better than Weber. I mean, he has 5 points in eight games. It's fine. You know, the plus minus has been bad, but I mean, we'll talk about Nashville. Part of me thinks, you know, they're going to fix this, but maybe not. That's a little worrisome. Yeah, that's the kind of range of a guy I'd have to be looking at. You know, I had Josi in my top 50 going into the year, so that's the kind of player I'd need back at least to try to sell high.
All right, one more potential trade, and this one's just for shits and giggles. If you have Shea Weber and someone offers you PK Subban.
I knew I was coming.
We might as well just go with a real-life trade and just see if it works out in fantasy. Shea Weber for P.K. Subban of fantasy. Who wins that trade?
I mean, I'm still taking Subban. I mean, he same boat as Yossi. He's minus seven right now, but I mean, he's still got, you know, 5 points in eight games, eight penalty minutes, you know, four power play points, you know, over two shots a game. I'm not worried about Subban yet. I mean, but yeah, the last three games he's gone pointless. But I mean, they just had the California trip, which are three just brutal games too. So I still think Nashville's going to be fine. Subban, I mean, he's been a top 5 to 10 fantasy defenseman for years now, or even better. So I'm still giving enough benefit of the doubt to him. I mean, we're only 10% of the way into the season, so I'm letting Subban stay, you know.
Okay.
I wouldn't panic. I mean, maybe the person who has Subban would do that, and if I had Weber, then I would do it for sure, but I don't know. I don't think people are willing to do it, that make a move that quickly. Some right. people can. I get some comments, you know, hearing some of these names on the waiver wire, and it's like blows my mind. So maybe people are panicking already.
Yeah. Speaking of panicking, forwards and teams that are playing against the Minnesota Wild right now, Devan Dubnyk has three shutouts in a row. I know you got him in one of the RCL. Is it the RCL?
I got him everywhere.
Yeah, you got him everywhere. He's been fucking dominating out there.
Really
Minnesota,
is.
We talked about it during the team previews. Bringing in Bruce Boudreau was the best thing that they could have done for
sure.
their lineup. They have a couple of young guys, but it's mainly a veteran squad that they're rolling in. And, they look good.
Oh, yeah.
Devan Dubnyk's close to the number one goalie in my mind right now.
I mean, on the player rater, he is. Yeah, I mean, I had him much higher than everywhere else, which is why I have a ton of them. The Wild, you know, they're 6-2-1. They're on top of a loaded division. They've been rolling teams. I mean, 5-0, 4-0, 4-0. They've had one really bad game where they laid an egg against the Islanders 6-3 on a back-to-back. And the end of a road trip, and Darcy Kuemper played. It wasn't Dubnyk, so...
Right.
I mean, they're scoring a lot because their depth is great. Now, I mean, he's on a roll. It's a bad time if the Sabres play them Tuesday night. And then they go out west, and they got a really weird schedule. They play Colorado Saturday, so the Tuesday, and they don't play until Saturday. Then that's the only road game they play there. They come back and play at Pittsburgh on Thursday. So they play one game in a 9-day stretch, which is not what they want the way they're playing right now.
No, you
want
to keep rolling.
Right, but yeah, I mean, Dubnyk, I'm not selling high. I'm just rolling with him. I don't know. I love everything the Wild are doing right now. They're the kind of team that's built, you know, we're going to talk about them in the Rangers even too. They're built for regular season success with how great their depth is. Plus, they have solid top-end guys in the Wild's case. Despite Parisi's injury, who's week to week, and you know, I would hold him if you don't have IR spots because it doesn't sound as bad as originally thought, but definitely hurts the team that Parisi's going down.
Yeah,
but,
definitely something to keep an eye on as well.
But Dubnyk, I mean, I have no worries about him.
Yeah, we'll talk about other. What do you want to talk about? Dominance or depth? Which D should we dive into?
That don't matter.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about depth then. You mentioned Minnesota has great depth and they're made for the regular season. Another team that flexed its forward depth on Sunday night was the Rangers. The Blue Shirts have just been rolling. They steamrolled Tampa 6-1 on Sunday night. I know this is going to pain Sabres fans to hear. Jimmy Vesey has 5 goals already. Yikes.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's not great. He's playing on the top line right now. I don't remember what my initial projection was for VC, but it looks like I'm going to be nowhere near where
I was like the 20 plus 20, you know, 40 to 50 point range, and right now he only has one assist, so he's at 6 points in 9 games, so he's a little bit on the higher end right now, like a 55-point pace, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah,
I mean, he's only playing 15 minutes. Kreider is supposed to be back Tuesday, which is going to cut into his minutes a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so many of these forwards are getting power play time as well. It's just one of those lookout type of, like, they're a beast to play against.
Oh, for sure. There's no, I mean, their depth is just incredible, and you know, their leading scorer is a guy who I've always liked, JT Miller. He's got 9 points in 9 games, and he's not even in the top six right now. Buchnevich is back, and he's on their fourth line with Brandon Peary. Brandon Peary's got 4 goals and 2 assists, you know, basically running the power play. Like, this team is absolutely loaded offensively, and they can just roll you with 4 lines. I mean, Michael Grabner had a hat trick yesterday.
Yeah, what was that? Like, Michael Grabner has 5 goals.
Yeah, like, they're loaded right now. I mean, McDonough has 8 assists, which I love to see. He's been great. Zibanejad had 8 points. Nash, Kreider, 7 in only 5 games. Zuccarello. And then you got 4 more guys who got 6 points. I mean, you're getting lower. I mean, Stepan's not even in their top 10 in points right now. He's got 5 assists. And he's got 5 assists.
Yeah, how crazy is that? It's nuts.
Yeah, it really is. So, yeah, they're a team I'm not looking to stream against, and I don't really like their goalies going against them because it's just they're going to get after teams. I mean, to me, I picked them to get third in the division, and while I would probably still stand by that, I think they're closer from a regular season standpoint to Washington and Pittsburgh than they are to the Islanders or Philly or whoever is fourth in that division. I think those 3 spots are going to be runaways.
Yeah. Injuries aside, those probably are the runaways. I mean, I can always gush about how I think New Jersey has looked really good so far.
I mean, I know you picked them. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, they're 4-2-2.
Yeah.
Or at least a wild card. They're 4-0 at home, which is nice to see. They usually don't have much of a home ice advantage.
Nope.
But yeah, I've just been I've been really impressed with the Rangers. I mean, their goal differential is +13. The only team better is Montreal, and they're tied with the Wild. So things are looking pretty great for the Rangers right now. I mean, Nash is looking much better again, the whole way down the line.
Yeah, they look good.
I mean, at the least, you'd be willing to at least stream 10 of their 12 forwards?
Yeah.
Like, Fast and probably Grabner, who, I mean, yeah, he has 5 goals, but it's pretty fluky.
Those are probably the only 2 forwards that you...
Yeah, the other 10 guys are definitely, I mean, right now, I think I wrote that VC's got to be Holden and Miller, too. So you're looking at 8 guys who should be, or 7 guys who should be held. And then you have Hayes, Peary, and the Butcher for streamers.
Yeah. And those aren't fluky streamers. Those are almost elite streamers at this point.
Yeah, especially like Peary, if you need power play points, he's a great guy to go to. I mean, Hayes looks great with Miller right now. I mean, yeah, they only have 1 defenseman that's worth a damn, but whatever. You know, take advantage of the forwards while you can.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on. We can go. It'll take us hours to get through the Rangers depth.
Yeah, that's plenty good enough.
Let's stay in New York City. How about that? The Islanders' goalie situation. Alan Walsh. Yeah, I have the name right. All right, Alan Walsh, Jaro Halak's agent, criticized the team for the timeshare that his client's in with Thomas Greiss. Then Elliot Friedman is he on Sportsnet now? Is he part of this?
I think so.
Well, I just know it's Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, as far as reporting goes, he's
elite. How about that? He's not Joe Flacco elite.
He's the Ian Rappaport of hockey, or however you want to put it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's reporting that the Islanders are now shopping Jaro Halak.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this before we started this recording. Thomas Greiss is owned in like 14%.
Yeah.
of leagues, that's very low, and now might be a time to pick him up.
Yeah, I wrote in my daily notes Monday, he's so, if you're going to take one thing away, it's that you should go grab Grice, because he was a top 15 goalie last year in the player aider, playing only 40 to 45 games because his numbers were that good. If he becomes a workhorse, if they trade Halak, I think he's going to be a bottom end number one goalie. And to be able to pick him up off waivers, like, people are owning, like, you know, the Andersons, Mike Smith, these bottom end goalies who you're just playing because of volume. If Grice starts getting that volume, he's going to blow all these guys out of the water.
Yeah.
So I think you got to go make a move. I just wanted to say, like, his agent wasn't even complaining as much about the timeshare. It's that they carry three goalies in practice. Berube is up all the time practicing, and that's what Walsh was complaining about. Like, there are times in practice where a goalie is just standing around, not getting, you know, the shots that they need to get in the zone, so to speak. And like, why the Islanders are carrying three goalies, I have no idea. It's completely pointless. Like, let Berube, are they that worried, like, someone's going to claim him off waivers that they can't send him down to Bridgeport?
Yeah,
like,
I don't think they should be that worried about someone claiming Berube. I don't think there are that many dire goalie situations where another team's making that claim.
Right,
we're going to talk about how Carolina's goaltending makes them great for fantasy hockey, but, like, come on. I mean, I saw something that Minnesota, because of the salary cap, only had 14 skaters at practice.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the Islanders are carrying three goalies for practice? That's bullshit.
I don't get it. Like, you look, you know, and I double-checked. Now I'm looking at Berube's page on HockeyDB. He played 7 games for the Islanders last year while, Halak, I think, was down at the time. He only played 5 games in the AHL last year. Like, he's just sitting there for what? It's just a complete waste, and I don't blame Halak and the agent for being mad about it. Like, I don't know if anything is going to come of it. I always want to be clear on that, too. Like, there's no guarantee the Islanders find someone that take Halak. He might be there the whole time, and he ends up splitting with Grice anyway. But it's still worth taking the shot on Grice, because he's going to be valuable in his starts anyway. If he actually becomes a guy who plays 60 games, I mean, look out, because he's going to be, at the least, he's going to be a top-end number two fantasy goalie.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Speaking of fantasy goalies, Tuukka Rask has been lights out lately.
Oh. All year. If he didn't get, was he sick or did he have a minor injury?
I think he was sick.
Either way, he's given up 5 goals total in 4 games.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, we know he's this good of a goalie. Like, he, before last season, when the Bruins opened things up, his save percentages in his career, 931, 918, 929, 929, 930, 922. Like, he is an elite goalie, especially if the team in front of him plays well. And the Bruins have been better defensively than expected. Like, we took the first few games of, them blowing out the Blue Jackets and scoring a ton of goals as a way to, you know, maybe it's just like last year, but they're starting to tighten up a bit. None of the Bruins guys are scoring a lot. They have injuries right now. Backus is still injured. Maybe this gives Rask a chance to, you know, be a top end, even number one goalie if the Bruins keep playing this way. I'm hesitant to say that. I think, you know, bottom end number one by the end is where I had him, and I still think that'll probably be the case, but I mean, you obviously have to love what you're seeing so far.
Yeah. Tuukka Rask has been really good. I think I went up against him in one of my leagues, and surprise, surprise, I lost the goalie categories.
Yeah.
So, that sort of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Another dominating performance. It seems a lot of domination going on out there.
Yeah.
Don't think of it like that. No. Weirdos. Jakub Voracek. I know Philly's played 10 games already. That's, I believe, the most in the league, or tied for the most.
Yeah, there's them in one. I think them in Detroit have played 10.
Yeah. Jakub Voracek looks really good. He's the number one forward on the player rater.
Player rater, yeah.
I'm trying to pull up his number. Yeah, I mean, Philly's just scoring a ton right now. He's got 5 goals and 5 assists through 10 games. Pretty much, if you took a nice flyer stack, you're loving life right now.
For sure. I mean, he's got over 4 shots a game, and he's got 26 penalty minutes already. Now, I just want to say, like, he lost his fucking mind after the first game of the year against Arizona when they missed a high stick, and Ekman Larson went down and scored. And he got 22 penalty minutes right there. So, obviously, the penalty minutes are quite fluky to be that high, but, you know, 10 points in 10 games over 4 shots, regardless. I mean, that's excellent.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. Claude.
No, I mean, I'm not sure by the end of the year his numbers are going to be as good as 2 years ago where he had 81 points and 78 penalty minutes. But I think he's going to be closer to that player than the guy who had 55 points last year. I mean, especially from the goals. I mean, he only had 11 goals last year. He's going to be in the
20s. there's no way he's getting 10 goals again.
No, he'll be in the 20s. And, you know, the Phillies, another team where they were moving the lines around. At one point, they had Voracek with Giroux and Konechny with Shen, Simmons, Couturier. They switched back. Like, it almost doesn't matter for any of them. Even, like, Voracek, it's almost advantageous somewhat if he's on the second line because they're letting him just shoot. I mean, before their game Sunday against Carolina, 4 games before, 5, 6, 6, 9 shots. Like,
yeah,
he's playing extremely well right now.
Yeah, you cannot go wrong with a Flyers top six, except maybe Couturier.
He's bottom end. I mean, if you count faceoffs, then he definitely becomes in play. But otherwise, he's a decent streamer, though.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be holding him.
No, I do think, in one of the RCLs, I did take Giroux and Simmons, and I got a nice stack there. So I'm sort of loving what Philly has going on offense. Braden Schenn has started to ramp it up a little bit.
For sure.
Since his suspension, like I wrote about and predicted. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of that. Yeah, I mean, you got to love what Philly's doing on offense. They're in a lot of high-scoring games.
Yeah, their goalies were playing well for a stretch, and now they've just been absolutely horrendous for the last week. Neuwirth's been pulled twice. Mason got shelled the other day. I mean, it's not a good time for the Flyers' goalies, that's for sure. I mean, you look at their last handful of games, even going back, 3 goals, 3 goals, 3 goals, 4-4-3 against, like, that's not going to get it done.
No, but it does get it done if you own players in those fantasy hockey games.
Oh, for sure. I mean, every single game they've played in, besides against Montreal, both teams have scored at least 2 goals. So, I mean, obviously, we can add Philly right now to the list of teams to target, you know, streamers against Philly and even on Philly.
Yeah. Another team that I was just talking to you about before we hit the record button on this, Carolina, we've said it before, people, I'll say it again. There's only been one game that there's been two games that Carolina's played where there have been less. No, every game's had at least 5 goals. Mm-hmm. Looking at this right? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go fucking wrong with that. Like,
no,
both for and against. Like, there's so much scoring in the Carolina games. The goaltending is so bad. And I'm just going to praise the Jeff Skinner stack with Victor Rask that I have going right now. And
yeah, they're incredible.
They are on fire. They look good. There's a ton of skill for Carolina. Mm-hmm. And here's the crazy thing. If they finish, say, last in the league in terms of standings, because
they get to add one more guy.
Yeah, imagine if they add a Nolan Patrick to this
squad.
Right.
I mean, I don't think they're going to be that bad, but, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I guess we know how good those two are, Falk, for that matter. Would you still hold Stepniak, or do you think you could cut bait and just stream him?
I think he's probably going to start moving to a streamer, especially because it was a little bit of a surprise what he was doing at first.
Right. I mean, he's only got 13 shots in 8 games.
That's
got
just not...
one, one goal and zero assists the last five games. I think it's probably time with him to let him go. And if you've been holding him, turn his spot into a streamer spot, or pick up one of these other guys who are hot and roll them for the time being.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going back to it. Sebastian Aho looks really good for them. He's definitely someone that I would stream for assists.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's getting power play time too, which is huge.
Yeah.
So nice, and his shots have been going up a little bit, which is what you want. So, I mean, just keep an eye out for those types of players. Everybody, please. Yeah, and Justin Falk is playing like a number one fantasy defenseman, which is what we were all hoping for.
I mean, he always ends up having a pretty bad plus-minus, which sucks. You kind of have to count on it. But, you know, he's got a good chance to finish, assuming he stays healthy, as a top five goal scorer from the point. I mean, he could definitely has the talent to bury 20 goals. So just keep rolling. And he'll end up, a bottom-end number two, maybe a top-end three, only because the assists usually aren't as great from him. But as far as goals and shots on goal from a defenseman, he's top notch.
Yeah, gotta like what you see out of him for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
really everything from Carolina outside.
Yeah, they're excellent for fantasy owners.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to. All right, let's stay in the Southeast, the old Southeast. Sorry, everybody. I'm old enough to remember the Southeast Division. Let's go with some cat hockey. Yeah, let's go with the Florida Panthers. Very, very disappointing loss to a Sabres team that had been struggling.
Yeah.
Then Sunday night, Colton Sevier.
Yeah, I think it's Sevier.
Sevier? Yeah, we'll get a pronunciation on that at some point. But likely, actually, you know what? We have a little list here. Anything there with Colton Sevier? It looked like he was playing on the second line.
Yeah,
so
he was.
I think we're going to have to say yes. He might be a streamer, or is he a hold it in the last spot and see if he continues to play on the second line type of thing?
I'm probably just streaming. Again, I don't know when Juuse Jokinen's supposed to be back. I mean, they talked about it being a minor thing, but he hasn't played in almost 2 weeks now, and I can't find an update anywhere. Sevier's the guy in his spot. I mean, he's got 5 goals, 2 assists now in 7 games. After he had a hat trick and an assist on Sunday against Detroit. I mean, he was a monster. He's getting second unit power play time. He scored a power play goal. He seems to be clicking with Trocheck. He scored shorthanded. The hits are pretty good, and so are the blocks for a forward. If you're in a deeper league that counts those stats, I would definitely grab him.
Yeah.
He's played for Dallas for a few years, and you know, last year he actually played pretty well for Dallas. Hit 11 goals and 12 assists and on a fourth line role. There is some talent here. I just think it's more of a streamer, but I'm trying to see who Florida plays in their next game. They get Boston. Boston's been solid defensively. That might be a snooze fest. So maybe I won't look to stream Sevier Tuesday night, but yeah, I mean, he's in a good spot right now, and that's, you know, 80% of the battle is getting, you know, top six in power play time, and he's got it.
Yeah, I think the streamers for Tuesday, there are going to be a couple games that you'd really want to kind of hone in on. Obviously, we're going to talk about this. Edmonton and Toronto has got to be the number one game in terms of scoring that you would expect.
Yeah.
That we're just talking about
Carolina
and Ottawa. Ottawa, you know what? Let's talk about Ottawa. Sunday night they played at Edmonton. Craig Anderson, first game since it was announced that his wife had cancer. I don't know the specific type. Pretty emotional game. They got outshot 37-22. Craig Anderson, as much as we rip on him for being a fantasy dud, he had a shutout. It was an incredible performance. I was up watching that game, mainly because I thought it was going to be a shootout. Probably a 5-4 game. But holy shit, he looked good.
And yeah, I mean, it's a second shutout in a row. I mean, this one obviously holds a lot more water than Vancouver, who's who's falling apart as we expected. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's got a .922 save percentage. And I mean, we've seen from Anderson in the past, he's a super streaky goalie. And at the end of the year, it always ends up, like, okay-ish. Like, the goals against is usually a bit high, but the save percentage is good enough. He starts a ton of games. So, right now, I mean, ride him while he's hot. It's only a matter of time, though, until he has one of his, you know, 5 goals against on 30 shot games, because it's going to happen the way Ottawa plays defense.
Yeah, and I guess we should give a big round of applause for Mike Hoffman finally getting a goal, doing some stuff. He did things. He had 4 shots on net and a goal. I mean, he was doing stuff out there.
I mean, he's got 30 shots in 8 games. Like, he's going to start scoring.
Right, they got to start going in at some point.
He takes that many shots, he should have, like, 4 goals right now. You know, he keeps it up, he'll score 30 goals, I think.
Yeah, Bobby
Ryan.
I'm not
really worried about him.
Yep, Bobby Ryan getting on the board as well. He's got 3 on the year.
Got that empty netter.
Yeah.
They all count the same for fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the thing to me with Ryan is his minutes are just low. I mean, he played 14 in this game, and that was his highest in a few games. I mean, he's got 5 points in 8 games. It's bottom end. It's a little over 2 shots. He's okay, but I've never been a big fan.
Yeah, I'll say this.
At least since he moved to Ottawa.
Yeah, I'll say this about the minutes in that game. It was a little bit odd because I think it's pretty clear that Bobby Ryan is not playing shorthanded penalty kill. They were on the penalty kill quite a bit in that game. So, like, I'm looking at a guy like Kyle Turris. Had an assist, 2 blocks. He had 19 minutes of ice time in that game against Edmonton. Kyle Turris, again, I feel like I'm just, like, replaying an old podcast that we've done. I love the way Kyle Turris has played this year. He's looked good. He was involved in the goal that Mike Hoffman scored. He played great at the end of that game and shutting down McDavid and Edmonton from scoring. And this wasn't a game. This game was in Edmonton. This should have been a high-scoring game. Edmonton should have been able to put up goals.
Yeah.
But between the great performance from Craig Anderson, I've been impressed. Guy Boucher is doing a good job with the Senators.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, goal differential is a good way usually to predict how a team's going to do in the future. They're exactly even on the year. I mean, that's the kind of team I think they are. You know, counting all losses the same, you know, they're about a 500-ish team to me. Right now they're 5-3. I got the list in front of me. We both said over fade the 83.5 for Ottawa. I'm starting to feel a little stronger that they're going to finish in the high 80s in points, maybe even like low 90s and fight to get in. It really really depends what they get from defense. I mean, Cody Ceci and Phaneuf have been horrible back there. If they can either split them up and make it work better, or those two somehow improve. I think, you know, they're a bit dangerous right now.
Yeah, they're relying on them probably a lot more than they would have liked to.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm them, I'm making a call to Anaheim about Cam Fowler.
Yeah,
if
that
I'm
would
them,
be
I'm making a call to Winnipeg about Jakub Trouba. If I'm them, I'm calling literally any team with a good defenseman about making a move, because outside of Carlson,
I mean, I don't even, like, Mathod is fine, but
you can't be playing him 23 minutes. I mean,
no.
I'm looking at the stat sheet from their game against Edmonton. Dion Phaneuf played 24.5 minutes.
Yeah, that can't
happen. You can't be having that.
I mean, there's another team that's doing something even worse that we're going to get to shortly, but, I mean, that's pretty horrible usage.
Yeah, I mean, Weidman had 12 minutes, which is where he should be.
Yeah, it's fine.
Matt Borowicki.
Yeah,
he had 9.5 minutes is where he should be. And Carlson at 26.5. I mean, that's probably where he should be, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Phaneuf's penalty killing a lot would
yes.
be my only
yeah, him,
thought, but
here's the thing. Him and CeCe had 4.5 minutes of penalty kill time.
Ugh.
So I think these numbers might be a little bit conflated based on how
I
much
guess,
they were on
yeah.
the kill, but still, like 24.5 minutes for Dion Phaneuf. Dude, this isn't 2006.
I mean, he's averaging 22 a game this year, which
yeah, like,
I know their defense is pretty thin, but that's too much. I mean, like, for fantasy, he's only got 1.8 games. Again, You're owning him pretty much for decent shots and really good penalty minutes. That's about all you're going to get from him at this point.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the Washington Capitals, because I feel like we just don't talk about them all that much. Sunday, they had a 3-1 win at Calgary. I was watching this game. I'm going to be honest. It was flipping between the hockey games and the baseball game. I had no interest in that football game whatsoever.
No, I didn't really watch any of that. I actually watched some of the World Series of Poker main event.
There you go.
And I was flicking between that, hockey, and baseball.
Yeah, Marcus Johansson. I think at this point, now we have to talk about him. He had a power play goal. He had two goals in the game. He had a power play goal assisted by Ovi and Backstrom. I mean, he's got to become a hold now, right?
Definitely. I mean, it's a second straight game with two goals. He's got 5 goals, 4 assists, and 9 games. He's on the first power play unit, which is why we thought he was like either an elite streamer or a bottom end hold before. Now I think you have to hold him while he's hot. I mean, the shots aren't great. I mean, he's at just under 2 a game, but for him, that's actually like the best rate he's had in his career. So this is all very encouraging to me.
Yeah, and from the looks of the lines, it seems like he's on the second line right now.
Yeah.
And the way I was, when I was watching the game, it seemed like they were flipping him and Burakovsky, almost interchanging them in the top six.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see it where it's Johansson, Kuznetsov, and Oshie. I know they have, it says Tom Wilson on the second line. I don't buy it for a second.
No.
Yeah, and I think Burakovsky's been dropped down to the third line. I think if you were to choose between Burakovsky and Johansson, I think it has to be Johansson.
Right now, for sure. I mean, I feel like they're the type of guys who they might keep switching. We might change our minds, you know.
5 or 6 times.
This whole season. But for now, I think, yeah, it has to be Johansson.
Yeah, and surprisingly, Washington is not a very good fantasy football team.
Fantasy football, huh?
Yeah, stop. Fantasy hockey. You know what I was trying to say. The listeners know what I was trying to say. They have not been a very good fantasy hockey team. Not so much that they're not a good team, because I think they're a great team.
Yeah.
Fantasy-wise, I mean, they're in low-scoring games. They don't even score a whole lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprising. I would have...
Yeah, well,
go on.
I wrote down a list. I got the 5 most improved possession team so far this year compared to where they were last year, and then the 5 who've gotten the worse compared to last year. You believe Washington's actually the 2nd most improved possession team so far? I mean, it feels like to me that the goals are going to come even more so. I mean, they have 22 in 8 games, which isn't bad, but I think they're going to be at 3 a game or slightly more.
Yeah, I think you were talking about the possession. They've given up 17 goals through 8 games. They're giving up just like 2 goals a game. I mean, you're going to win a lot when you're doing that.
For sure. I mean, I don't think you're going to have any chance of getting him. You want to guess who the most improved possession team is?
Toronto?
No.
Go ahead.
The team who I thought it was Colorado, naturally. They're 3rd. The Rangers and the Sharks round out the top 5, so that just shows you how good those 2 teams are playing right now that they're much improved off last year. It's actually the Florida Panthers.
Well,
even though they're 4-4-1, they're really dominating, and they've lost a bunch of, you know, 3-2 games, and yeah, they laid an egg against the Sabres, but
they still only gave up 3 goals. I mean,
right.
The thing is, they're playing in a lot of low scoring games too.
Right. I mean, I think that just shows you that they're eventually going to break out of this. I mean, I know they're missing a decent amount of guys right now, which sucks, but I mean, I don't have much doubt about Florida still.
Yeah, just wait for Huberdeau to come back. Do we have a timetable for Bukestad?
I thought it would only be a week or two more.
Yeah, it's one of those, they're just lacking in terms of depth for the bottom 6 because they've had to promote those third line guys up to top 6 mm-hmm. minutes. But once they get those top 6 guys, some of them back, you're going to see their depth improve. It's going to almost, I feel like it's going to start to look like the Rangers, where they're going to have three lines that can go out and dominate and score.
For sure. I mean, they said it was a month when it happened, about, you know, at least 4 weeks, but it sounded like it would just be a month with a broken hand. That was October 6th, so we're almost looking at exactly at a month. So he's going to be back in the next week or two, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Florida. Mm-mm. Not at all.
I mean, on the other hand, bottom five, the teams who have gotten the worst possession-wise, Detroit, which is a bit telling that their star might be a bit of a fluke. And now Vanek, who's been amazing, is week to week.
That's not good. It's okay to drop him at that point.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal for him with how well he's played in the early going.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's on this list, but I'm discounting it because of Crosby missing time. Then you're looking at Winnipeg, who is a bit surprising, but I mean, the defense is pretty thin. And once you get past Bufflin, I mean, even Enstrom at this point in his career is not the best.
That's a team that kind of needs Jakob Trouba back there.
They do. And the other thing is, like, they don't need the most possession to do well either, just because of the big talent that they have offensively. But then the other two teams are no surprise. It's Nashville and Dallas, who have both been horrible to start the season.
Yeah, I guess let's talk about Nashville and Dallas. I've been working on a piece for the Razzball hockey website about Nashville and how much they're struggling. I don't think this has anything to do with Shea Weber not being there. They've had some bad matchups. Their scoring has been atrocious so far. I think their goaltending is very inconsistent. Pekka Rinne.
Yeah, we knew that coming in. That
right, and it's one of those. It's another one where Nashville should look at the Islanders and say, if you really have Halak on the trading block, like, please, we'll list, like, we're here.
Like, I want to say for those in dynasties, quick, especially if you have minors, that UC Saros, he only got the one game, but I really think he's the goalie of the future there.
Yeah.
That's why I think Halak makes more sense, because he's more of a stopgap. But I'm just looking pretty quick, like, they're giving up a power play goal, one out of three chances. Their penalty is only at 66%.
That's absolutely.
Their power play is at 36%. They're just not getting on the power play enough. Like, they're, you know, they've only had 19 goals. There's too much talent on this team to not be scoring enough. You look at this roster, it's almost the exact same as last year, which makes me think something weird is going on. They're going to break out of it. I don't know. I really can't explain it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just odd. Like
Dallas is easier to understand.
Like, right, injuries.
Like, Nichushkin's gone. Janmark hasn't played. Hemsky's now out 5 to 6 months. He's probably done for the season. Jason Demers left, which is absolutely killing them on defense. Their defense gets so thin so quick now. Like, them I can get, especially, like, Ben and Sagan haven't been as great to start the year, especially Ben. He only has 4 points in 8 games. Those guys are going to be better, and, you know, they're not the block to make the playoffs we thought they were, but I still think they're going to turn it around, at least somewhat, Dallas. I mean, they're obviously not going to win the division like they did last year.
Right.
But Nashville, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make sense to me. Like, they blew the Penguins out of the water on a back-to-back after, like, five guys had food poisoning.
Yeah. I've been watching Nashville because I keep looking at these box scores. I'm thinking, there's no way they're this bad. Mm-hmm. They look lost out there. And I don't want to say PK Subban feels like he's playing a different game than they are, but it's almost like they need time to gel. But as you just played out, it's almost the exact same team they had last year.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
I hate Peter Laviolette just because he coached that Carolina team, but, I mean, he is a good coach. Like, I don't see where the flaw in the team is. You know, their next few games.
Well, I think we talked about it.
It is, but, I mean, they still don't have enough goals, though. I mean, 19 goals.
Yeah, I mean, are they lacking, and do they need another forward?
No, I don't think.
Like, Phil Forsberg hasn't gotten off to a hot start.
No, James Neal finally scored, but he's been bad. Johansson doesn't have a goal yet. Like, that's where you're looking. I think it's just these these top end guys just got to wake. Forsberg doesn't have a goal yet either. I mean, he's got five assists, but
they got to wake the fuck up.
Yeah, like the only, you know, when you're leading goal scorers, you know, you should be thrilled. Victor Arvidsson's got four goals, and Mike Fisher has three goals. Like, those are the kind of guys doing well that should, you know, make you be at, you know, a 6-2 start team instead of 500 because you're getting these bonus contributions. You know, the top guys are letting them down right now, and maybe they just got to tighten it up a lot more and see, you know, try to play these grinded out games. Their defense is good enough in front of Rene that he shouldn't kill them. When you look at their next set of games, they got Colorado, Arizona, Carolina, Ottawa. Like, they can just try to outgun those teams and I think successfully do it. And maybe that's what it'll take for these top guys to really get going. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they just need an easy matchup or something. It's like a guy who's been on a goal, like a big drought in terms of scoring. Sometimes you just need to see the puck go in.
Right.
To fully just get back into the swing of things, just to get out of your funk. Maybe it's just that Johansson, they need to have like a 6-goal performance. They just need to see themselves putting the puck in the net.
Right. I mean, that could certainly happen, you know, tonight against Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, Vegas clearly still believes in them. They have the game as even though they're on the road in Colorado. So it's just, I'm going to have to watch some of that game once, you know, when the Sabres are done or in intermission, whatever, to get a closer look at what's exactly going
on
there.
It could be a 2-TV kind of night for us watching these games.
Yeah, it's a huge slate. It's going to...
Especially the Edmonton-Toronto's going to take up the screens as well.
I'm looking at 12 games tonight. I mean, it's a lot of daily notes, a lot of everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of good games. What's the marquee game of the night, you think? St. Louis and the Rangers, the way they're playing right now?
Yeah.
Not necessarily best to watch, because Edmonton-Toronto might just be craziness.
That and Carolina-Ottawa.
Right.
I think the game for me... And there's a little bit of sentiment behind it. I think it has to be Washington and Winnipeg. And here's why. When the draft came out, scouts were talking about how Patrick Laine had the personality, the goal scoring touch, the pizzazz, the shine, the stardom of Alex Ovechkin. So, and he's going up against none other than Alex Ovechkin tonight. So it's one of those, like, the present versus the future. And I want to see how Ovechkin versus Mini Ovechkin plays.
This would be interesting.
The
more I watch Laney, the more I think he's Kovalchuk, which is awesome. I mean, Kovalchuk's
great. Right. I mean, it's not, like, that's not a negative in any way, shape, or form.
No, not at all.
Unless he goes to the KHL or tries to sign a 17-year deal when he's, like, 31. Or something.
That was amazing.
I can't believe New Jersey even tried that. Like, come on. Who are you fooling with that nonsense?
No, but I mean, even if the NHL doesn't fall for it, nobody will.
Right. Those will be interesting. Calgary-Chicago have actually played some pretty good games so far this year. I think this is their third matchup of the season already. Maybe it's their second. They've played quite a bit already.
Mm-hmm.
And that games in Chicago. Chicago's been in a bunch of high-scoring games. Too. I know they shut out the Kings on Sunday night, but that's not really much of a feat because the Kings aren't scoring a whole lot.
I want to go on a little rant about Calgary.
Quick. No, go for it.
Understand.
I won't get in the way of you.
Okay, you look at the player rater now. I mean, again, they've played 10 games, so it's skewing things a little bit. But right now, Dougie Hamilton and Mark Giordano are both in the top 10. Dougie's the number 7 guy. I mean, he's been playing pretty well overall. He's got 2 goals, 4 assists, you know, almost 3 shots a game, 12 penalty minutes, you know, from a fantasy perspective is nice, whatever. He's averaging 19 minutes, or not even quite, 19 minutes a game. Meanwhile, Derek Engeland is playing on the second pair, getting in the 20s. He's so horrible at hockey, it absolutely blows my mind that they're busy rolling fucking Derek Engeland over Dougie Hamilton for these minutes. It makes no sense. As someone who has Hamilton on some teams in fantasy, I don't get it. They play the same side, so it's not a side-by-side thing. Like, Giordano, Brody, Yoki Pak on the left. That's how it should be. Hamilton and Weidman should be the two in the top four. Honestly, Hamilton should probably be in the top pair, but whatever, if they want to balance it out. Why Derek Englund is on the second pair is just, I can't explain it, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I'm sort of lost on that one as well. I watch a bunch of the Calgary games. My RCL team name is West Coast Best Coast because I think that those games are more wide open. And I also have a ton of players in the Pacific Division, mainly in Canada in the Pacific Division. So when I watch Calgary, I just shake my head. I don't get it either. I mean, it's one thing if this was 10 years ago and the Pacific was a slow, hard-hitting, grinded-out type of thing. Maybe okay, because I know Derek Englund's a more physical presence than Dougie Hamilton. But Dougie Hamilton's a much better hockey player. And yeah, it's amazing.
It's not even
the National
debate,
Hockey
like,
League, what does the H stand for? Oh, that's right, hockey. Yeah, you actually just have to play it. And Dougie Hamilton's just better at it than Derek Englund.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, he's got 2 points, and he's never topped more than 17 points in a season. Okay, so maybe you're like, okay, maybe he's just good defensively. No. Like, you look at his Corsi numbers 2 years ago in Calgary, especially in Calgary, his Corsi was 40.2%. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. The year before in Pittsburgh, he was 43 on a dominant Pittsburgh team. Last year, he was 45.5. Like, the teams are always much better when Englund's not on the ice, so it just makes no sense at all to me, and it's something that's, as a Flames fan, would really frustrate me, and I just hope that, you know, Bob Hartley comes to his senses eventually and flip-flops him.
Yeah. Do you want to keep going on with that rant against Calgary, or you?
No, I mean, that's all. I just, it's frustrating to see Hamilton's minutes not be, you know, in the 20s at the least, and with the guys they have on that right side, I think he should be playing on the first pair of Giordano playing 24 minutes.
Nice.
I mean, his teams of all, Boston and Calgary, they've always been better possession-wise with Hamilton on the ice than without. Like, it's not even close. You know, he's a plus Corsi player this year, and he's starting extra shifts in the D zone right now, too, which I don't think makes much sense for his, you know, skill set anyway. But and it just play the kid, man. He's playing extremely well. In the last game against Washington, he had 1945. That was his most in a while. He hadn't topped 17.5 the 4 games before that. You know, even when they buried Ottawa, he had 2 goals and assists. He only played 16 minutes. So I don't know. I really don't get it. I don't know. It's part of the problem. You know, Calgary is playing better, but
yeah,
they're like capping their own ceilings in a way, limiting how much that Hamilton's playing.
Yeah, I mean, they did make the trade for him, so you think that, you know, they use him.
And they gave him the contract right away.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I don't know. It's just a blunt thing that's frustrating to me.
Mind-boggling, yeah.
I mean, the only other thing I think worth talking about is the Kings goaltending situation. Amazingly, and granted, we're looking at a very small sample right now, but Peter Budaj has come in and played extremely well.
Yeah.
Barely played in the league the last couple of years. Even back in his so-called prime in Colorado, he was a below-average goalie.
Yes.
Below-average
is a good way to describe it.
He's played, he started 6 games now. He's got a 2 goals against and a .916 save percentage. I think he's going to end up being the guy even when Zadkov comes back. I would grab him for now, especially if you have a goalie, you know, a really, really good goalie, so he's got a nice save percentage. Because Budaj is going to chip in some wins, and the goals against are going to be low because the Kings are dominating. I mean, they're the best possession team in the league right now, and they've been a bit unlucky, too. They have the worst shooting percentage in the league. They're not even shooting 7% as a team.
That's pretty
bad. Yeah, I think, you know, they're starting to work their way out of it. They started off 0-3. Yeah, they lost a couple games in a row. They got shut out twice in a row by the Blues and Blackhawks, 1-0 and 3-0. Not exactly easy games. And They don't have a nice stretch of games next. They play Anaheim tonight, and then they play Pittsburgh. But for those desperate for starts, I would make sure I'd grab Budaj, because, I mean, Quick's supposed to be out for another 3 months, so.
Yeah, you got to, I mean.
Unless they make a trade, which is possible, but I don't think they even can. I don't think they have the cap space
to
add it.
They still don't, because they have that great Dustin Brown contract still on the books.
So it has to be Budaj, I think.
Yeah, I would probably pick him up. I mean, I have a RCL team with Vasilevsky, Niemi, and, oh, God, some other terrible goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it is. Oh, Varlamov, who hasn't been bad, but he's not been great either. So, yeah, I mean, that's somewhere where I'd almost say that I would drop Niemi for Budaj just to help out with the numbers.
Yeah, that's really close. Like, the volume probably will be better for Budaj right now. And they're both going to be good in wins. But with how open the Stars play and how bad they are defensively right now, I mean, you got to think the percentages are going to be better for Budaj. So, yeah, I think I would make that move too.
Yeah. I'm debating making that move like while I'm talking right now because I can multitask on the computer. All right, you want to go to the 3-point challenge?
Yeah. Let's just first give a shout out to frequent commenter Shitwolf.
Classic.
Picking Mitch Marner, and him getting 3 assists. So maybe it's not as hard as it seems. He nailed it on the first try.
Yeah.
Let me bring up, do we want to still do top 10 by most points right
yes.
now? Okay. Points per game? Or are we going to...
Do you think we're at the point now where we can do points?
I'd say let's keep it for a little, just because, like, you know, some teams like Colorado played 7 games where Philly's played 10. Detroit's played 10. Let me take a look at this. Yeah, I mean, the top per game list looks about right now. Also, there's like if we do total points because of how many different amount of games guys have played, we'd have to limit 17 guys because 9 through 17 all have 10 points. So let's just do per game for now.
Okay.
Our top 10 guys you can't take: Crosby, Skinner, Kreider, McDavid, Marchand, Victor Rask, Marchessault, Nylander, Anisimov, Pavelski. We already talked about what games we like the most. I mean, just to bring it up again, definitely Edmonton, Toronto, although you can't take Nylander or McDavid for that matter. Depending what you get from Bob, Dallas, Columbus could be a high-scoring game. And then obviously Carolina, Ottawa. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one because I'm tempted to go back to the well on Nashville and see if maybe they turn it around in Colorado, but I kind of feel like they're not going to.
I really can't figure them out. Yeah, it's frustrating.
I almost want to watch a couple more of their games, although at the same time I don't because they haven't been a good team to watch.
That's very
true. It's like a double-edged sword there. You know what? I'm going to go with Joe Thornton in the late game.
I like that. He was actually on the short list of guys I was considering. That's actually a pretty good call. I mean, Arizona's
bad.
Quite a mess.
They should send Dylan Strome back to juniors because they have no idea what they're doing with him.
We went on this rant about Barzal in the beginning of the year, who wasn't playing well, but, you know, gets scratched first game, plays a game, gets scratched, whatever. They've been doing this to Strome and Christian Dvorak, for that matter.
Just send them back.
Play them or don't. I don't understand.
Yeah, like, if you're not going anywhere this year, like, make up your mind. Are you going to play the kids or not?
Yeah.
For fuck's sake, Arizona. Maybe they want Nolan Patrick. Maybe they want one more number. Maybe they are sick and tired of seeing all these other teams get the number one overall pick. They're like, no, it's our turn now.
Maybe. I mean, I don't. I just don't understand.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joe Thornton.
I like it.
I think he can get 3 assists real easy in that game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean,
No more sneaky plays for me. I'm starting to go with a little bit more of the obvious selections.
Yeah, I'm torn between a few guys here. I mean,
we'll talk it out. Let's hear
Ben, Ben and Sagan. I mean, they're just so good, but man, they've been brutal. And Bobrovsky's in the zone right now. And there's Matthews, but I don't really care for that. Eberle even. I think I'm going to take the man who at least once upon a time had the beautiful flow, and I'm going to take Erik Karlsson against Carolina. The minutes are huge. Carolina's just a friggin' mess. Carlson's hasn't been as great the last few games. He only got 1 point the last four games, but, I mean, Carolina's a great matchup right now, and I was tempted to say Turris, but I'm gonna take the big minutes of Karlsson, so hopefully I can get on the board and maybe even you.
Yeah, hopefully we can get. Hopefully, did we have only one winner last week?
Yeah, no one. I'm trying to remember. Somebody had 2 points. I'm trying to think. It might have even been Giroux for me in that 5-4 loss to. The 5-4 loss to Arizona. No, he only had the one assist. I feel like someone, I can't remember who it was in the comments, though, had a 2-point night that was picked. But Marner was the only guy who had three. I mean, looking back that night, Braden Shen had 3 points that night, so he would have been a winner.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny because you always like taking
it. I love Braden Shen.
Phil Kessel against the Islanders had a 3-point.
I don't think anyone was taking Phil Kessel.
No. I mean, obviously Marner did because that was the winner. I think that's it. Double checking. Yeah, Laine had 2 goals. I think someone might have taken him. Yeah, it looks like that was it for 3-point guys. So it's obviously a tough one to pull off, but hey, it can be done. We've seen it.
Yeah, so. Well, good luck to everyone. Just please comment in the section below to get your entries in. I believe the first game is at 7, so 6:55 should be reasonable.
If you do forget or whatever, you listen to it on your phone and forget to get to the website and comment, as long as the guy's game didn't start yet, I'll be fine with it.
Yeah.
So if you remember it, 9:30 and you gotta pick someone from one of the two, the Anaheim, LA, or San Jose, Arizona, then go right ahead. That's
fine. Or how about this? The entry's good as long as it's before your entry's first point.
Game starts.
Before the first point.
That's fine, too. I mean, I'll have to actually go look and check then, I suppose.
All right, let's work for Viz. If it's before the game starts, it's good. Otherwise, we're going to have to,
Yeah. I mean, big slate of games for everyone to choose from.
Easy enough.
There should be a couple games on NBCSN, I would think, right?
I believe there are.
I mean, they usually are on Tuesday.
The problem is, hold on, we have, oh, God, okay. So it looks like it's going to be
Tampa Islanders.
Tampa and the Islanders. Yeah. Is that the only one? No. Oh, yes. Sharks, Yotes. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. 10 o'clock.
I can't believe they put that game on over Ducks Kings, but I'm fine with
it. Well, I mean, the Ducks have been pretty bad, and the Kings are
But Arizona is the worst record in the league right now. I think they're 2-6.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'll be interesting. That's for sure. They must be
different games to watch.
Yeah. I mean, there's not very good game. Problem is that it's like the problem is that they're not playing the games that have Canadian teams where all the scoring's coming from. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of,
playing with one. Yeah, it's infuriating to me. Like, they put Matthews on NBCSN the next game after he scores 4 in the opener. Meanwhile, they still haven't put McDavid on. Like
if you're going to pick if you're going to have a game go on NBCSN, Edmonton and Toronto is going to be the one that generates fans, that generates
interest.
You build
a base of fans for the future, and what better spot than, McDavid and Matthews, the last two first overall picks. Like, doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But Anyways.
But, all right, yeah, that's it for us, everybody. Just comment in the section below if there's a team or a player or a topic that you'd like us to discuss. If you have a segment idea that you'd like Al and I to do, Viz would like to do,
yeah.
Just let us know. We'll try and accommodate most people.
Yep.
If I don't like your idea, I'm not going to run with it, so we'll just leave that there.
I think the commenters are batting 1,000% so far. Yeah. Everything they've asked, we've done, so...
Well, I mean, no one bats 1,000 forever, so...
Yes, that's true.
All right, so that's it for us. We'll be back on Thursday with recaps of the games from Tuesday, and... Yeah, just Tuesday, because we're recording on Wednesday. So, yep. Unless we get up early Thursday, record, and then put it together and send it out. We'll see.
Yeah.
Viz likes to sleep in a little bit, so we'll be...
It all depends.
Yeah.
Like today, you know, there were so many games on Sunday, and this whole weekend I had to write so much. I think I was up till about 2. I usually set it so it goes up at 3 a.m. East, and it goes up at midnight on Pacific for my daily notes. This is the first time I actually like came kind of close to getting to 3 a.m. I ended up staying up till around then, till they stopped the World Series of Poker for the night. But I was dozing off on the couch at that point.
Yeah, it's that was a long night of games.
For sure.
But all right, that's it for us, everybody. Thank you for listening. Give a nice, healthy rating. And a quick little subscribe. And we'll see you on Thursday. So everyone, take care.